I'm Debbie Campbell with TAB News, and we're recording here at the Pastors Conference at Eastern Shore Baptist Church in Daphne, Alabama. And we have with us now a guest host. I'm going to let you introduce yourself.
Hey, this is Terry Wilhite, and somewhere Jennifer Rash is around here being the roving reporter
for
TAB News. And so she asked me to sit in, and we've got a very special guest with us today. I'm excited.
Me too. We have with us Michael Pascarello, who is the director of the Robert Smith Jr. Preaching Institute at Beeson Divinity School. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be with you and to tell you about what we're doing at Beeson Divinity School.
Well, let's just get started and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Thank you. I moved to Beeson Divinity School last summer. The summer of 2018, my wife and I moved all the way across the country, and I moved from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. And I am very grateful to be at Beeson Divinity School. They asked me to come to do two things, to join the faculty and to be the Beeson Professor of Methodist Divinity. I'm an ordained minister in the United Methodist Church, have been for a long time, but also to establish the Robert Smith Jr. Preaching Institute, which is funded by a very generous grant from the Lilly Endowment.
Incredible. In this crazy day and age when we've got so much noise that we have to cut through with the message of Jesus Christ, what do you say to those of us communicators of the gospel of how that's done in today's day and age?
Well, that's a great question. That's the enduring question that preachers have asked since the book of Acts, when they began preaching and spreading the gospel across the Roman Empire after the resurrection of Jesus and the day of Pentecost. I think the first thing we need to recognize is that preaching is generated and initiated by God, who is the primary speaker. And often preachers worry so much about what they need to do that they forget that God is the one who is already speaking, and that our calling is to align ourselves and get attuned to what God is first saying so that we have something that's truly worth listening to and believing. So at Beeson Divinity School, we not only emphasize how to preach, we emphasize forming the person who is the preacher, someone who is a good listener before they are a speaker. I think, Terry, we live in a time in the 21st century when many younger preachers recognize that it's not just a matter of skill, but a matter of formation and the kind of person that you are. The way many people say it today, we want a preacher who's authentic, someone we sense that we can trust because they truly believe what they say.
What about the whole notion of, in this day and age, a 30-minute sermon compared to a flash on Facebook or a sound bite here? Preaching is still relevant?
Of course, you know, there's a lot of different views on that, and in some traditions, the length of a sermon would tend to be shorter. In other traditions, it would tend to be much longer. What's interesting, though, is that when lay folks are asked about preaching, they typically don't talk about whether it was too long or too short. They tend to talk about what was said and the person who was doing the speaking, and that they were truly engaged by it in a deeper, deeper level. So I think that, you know, length of sermon, I tell my students, and I'm a professor of preaching, is that it would depend a lot on the context, what a congregation is accustomed to, your denominational history, and a whole host of other factors. More than anything, though, it needs to be a faithful, truthful witness to Jesus Christ, and that trumps everything else.
One thing when young pastors are teaching them how to preach, do you still go by the rule of, like, spell it out with three main points, or is it more of going by verse?
Yeah, that's a good question, a very good question. And again, I think what I do is I invite my students to think about what you just asked in terms of the way Scripture is communicated to us in a variety of ways. We have narratives in the Old Testament. We have Psalms that are acts of praise. We have letters in the New Testament. We have Gospels. And so rather than taking one form of preaching and trying to make everything fit into it, I encourage them to follow the lead of Scripture and listen to what it's saying and how it's saying it. And there you have a much more of a natural way of developing a sermon that is, the way I like to say it, much more followable.
In the realm of communication in this day and age, where does, for a pastor, social media play?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There's a tendency to go to one extreme or the other, as you know, which is to say it's going to save us or we need to completely reject it. And threading the needle is a really difficult thing to do for a pastor, to be able to use it in a way that serves the gospel and the ministry of the church without being totally taken up by it and swallowed by it. I think that, you know, there are pastors who are using social media in a way that they're working within the social media world, and at the same time, they're working against the social media world by working in it. In other words, they're in it, but they're not totally of it. They're using it for good ends without being used by it. And that really is a matter of good judgment and discernment that I think depends upon each person in their congregation and the people they're trying to reach.
I often tell folks to be a more of an exporter than an importer.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying
it.
Yeah,
you know, that we share the gospel without all the stuff coming into us.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
right.
Often. This is a selfish question, because part of my study that I'm doing right now is on how we can draw out of Scripture. You mentioned Acts, Paul's experiences of sharing the gospel in his day and age. How do you think that might be relevant to what we are facing today?
Well, I think the book of Acts is so timely for the world in which we live. There are many places just here in the United States that are post-Christian, and some places, like where I moved from in California, people are saying they're pre-Christian. Well, the book of Acts is taking the gospel into the Roman world where pagan worship was the common thing. And to hear Jesus Christ as Lord was odd and strange, something they'd never heard of, and they didn't really know how to make sense of it, because the Lord of heaven and earth was crucified and then raised from the dead. And so the gospel has this strange sound, but you know, there's the thing, this is the thing about it. It's often with people who have never heard it are more drawn to it than people who have heard it all their lives, and it's just kind of familiar and it's the same old thing. And I think in my teaching, I use the book of Acts. In fact, in our Doctor of Ministry program, I have students read the book of Acts and then comment on the not only the preaching, but the preachers in the book of Acts. Look at the kind of people they are. Look at the challenges they face. Look how they respond to them. What would it take for us to be like them? Not just to preach what they did, but to address really difficult situations and circumstances, even resistance and opposition, which I think many Christians face today and we're going to face increasingly in the 21st century.
Those of us who aren't ministers, we are, but we're not behind a pulpit. We're not a pastor,
right.
Not a preacher. We may be hosting a podcast. We may be sitting across a table with a cup of coffee trying to share our faith with another. How can pastors empower us, and then how can we be empowered to go out and to share our story?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it's the task of the ministry of the word in the church. It's to build up the church, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, so that preaching must speak into the lives of people and give them confidence that the life that they live and the faith that they share truly matters. It doesn't mean they have to go to seminary. It doesn't mean they have to be ordained and stand behind a pulpit. And in fact, the primary witness of the church in the world is the ministry of the laity on a day-to-day basis. Again, go back to the book of Acts. I think we're living in a time when we need to recover that ministry, because there are so many people who have left the church or have no interest in the church, and yet they rub up against Christian people every day.
Michael, as you're working with young pastors, what is one of the most important things you would share with them as they prepare to leave Beeson?
Yeah, one of the things that we try to encourage them to keep in mind is that they have been called to be lifelong learners, that the fact that they have an initial seminary degree doesn't mean that they're finished. It actually only marks the beginning. And that one of the things we've seen with clergy burnout, clergy moral failure, people leaving the ministry, is that they have not tended to their own souls. Pastors often tell us they don't have enough time to pray. They neglect their own spiritual life and their own formation. And so the education we provide becomes the springboard for just for what they're going to do for the remainder of their life. I'm convinced from my years as a pastor that that's no longer an option. That's a necessity.
I think it is for all of us.
Yeah. And that's what we try to do with the Preaching Institute. Yeah. We focus on learning, formation, and practice. And we ask, who do you want to be 20 and 25 years from now?
Just give us a good fly-through of the Beeson Divinity School at Samford University. Just a nice overview of bullet point list of what you guys offer. If somebody is interested, whether they're a layperson or they want to continue their education, what do you guys offer?
Well, Beeson Divinity School, as you know, is an evangelical interdenominational seminary, 31 years old. We have a new dean, Dr. Doug Sweeney, who succeeded Dr. Timothy George, who was our founding dean and much beloved here in the state of Alabama. Beeson stands in the classical confession of the Trinitarian faith of the whole church. At the heart of our curriculum is extensive study of scripture in original languages and extensive study in history and the doctrine of the church. That's one of the reasons that I came to Beeson, that when I teach preaching students, I can see the depth of faith and knowledge that's been cultivated in them by my colleagues that they have to work with as preachers and teachers of the word. For lay folks, we offer continuing education events. The Preaching Institute offers continuing education events on a regular basis that are on our website. And our interest with our graduates is what I just said to Debbie, is that we're interested in them not just for the when they graduate from Beeson, but we're interested in who they will be 25 and 30 years from now. We want to see them thrive in ministry, and we want to provide opportunities for them to grow both as Christians and as those called to ministry.
You mentioned familiarity, and sometimes those of us who've heard the stories over and over and over, we become, yeah, I know that, I've heard that one, mm-hmm. But yet we've not applied the truth that's in that scripture. We know it, but we just don't do it. So
yeah.
In teaching pastors and communicating to the communicators, how do you do that? How do you say, how do you strategize to communicate the application?
Yeah, that's a critical question in preaching, and one we can't avoid. This is the question I ask. That sounds good, but what does it look like?
Right, yeah.
What does it look like? Now, you know, when you're a student and you're very excited about what you're learning and what you know, you want to communicate that. But as you said, well, often that doesn't really get traction on the ground. But for those who are listening and want to hear the Word of God, how it addresses their lives, I think they're often asking, but what does that look like for me? And there's where a preacher needs to be not only, well, Dietrich Bonhoeffer put it this way, good preaching is going to be close to Scripture and close to life. And you can't have one without the other. Some preaching is very close to Scripture, but it doesn't ever really get that close to life. some preaching is very relevant and close to life, but it's far removed from Scripture. So you're really not sure if what you're hearing is the truth. We've got to hold them together. And of course, in our Lord, the Word made flesh, they have been reconciled and brought together. He is the living Word himself. So what you ask me is what a preacher always must deal with.
Right. Well, Michael, as a young student who is being called into ministry, maybe considering Beeson, where would they go to find out information of how to enroll in Beeson?
Well, they can go to the Beeson Divinity School webpage, which is very easy to find, and there's very clear directions there to get information. Sherry Brown is our Director of Admissions. She's extremely helpful. She's a Beeson grad, and we would love to have them come to visit us. We would love to meet them. They're welcome, and we would make them feel at home and introduce them to everything we've got to offer at Beeson Divinity School.
Ray, is there a website in particular they should go to?
They could go to www.beesondivinityschool.edu, and there they find all the information that they need.
beesondivinityschool.edu.
That's right.
Okay.
This has been a great, great moment here to impart some wisdom to all of us who are sharing the gospel, and you've been of great encouragement, and hopefully those who want to learn more will check you out.
Well, thank you, both of you, and it's my pleasure to be with you today.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.